I picture a secret Madre Joffrey society of Indian food fans, her disciples covertly identifying themselves by flashing open their coats to reveal her first cookbook, in tatters, taped together, clutched to the heart. No one in their right mind would ever give up their copy of An Invitation to Indian Cooking, nor the 19 books that followed, covering every corner of India. Ah, but then there's her new book, Vegetarian India, A Journey Through the Best Indian Home Cooking. Madhur, it's so good to have you back.
It's wonderful to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about all the books. I lost count quite a while ago of all the books you've written. And you've talked about vegetarian eating before, but what brought you back to the subject with this one?
Well, there's so many vegetarian foods that I don't know in India. People call me the great expert on India. Nobody can be an expert on Indian food because it's such a large country. And every time you go into a little crevice of India, you find a new cuisine, new dishes. So I thought this time I'm just going to go around all of India, as much of India as I can, all the nooks and crannies that I've heard about but have not visited, and see what's lurking there, what good things are lurking. And this time I thought, I'm not going to fly everywhere. I'm going to go by car. And anything looks good on the road, I'm going to jump out and taste it and write about it. How are people eating vegetarian food? Who is eating it? How do they serve themselves? How do they eat lunch? If they're working, do they eat in the workplace? Do they go home? And if you're an ashram and serving vegetarian Indian food in India, what do you serve? Is there a philosophy behind what you're serving? So all these are questions that I have or had, and I thought I'm going to get all the answers and present Indian vegetarian food in a very intimate manner to the American audience.
What were some of the real finds for you? I mean, the totally unexpected things.
Well, for example, I was in an area in southwestern India, in the mountains, which are very tropical. And they grow coffee in this area. They grow black pepper in this area. They have excellent honey in this area. And it's very forested, this particular area. And in the monsoon season, which is in the summer, it rains for about 4 months. So they can't really go about too much, and they have to eat what they can forage. So what kind of recipes come out of this? Wonderful mushroom recipes. I mean, they have mushrooms growing in the rainy season that are as large as dinner plates and as tiny as little dots. And they carpet the floor. They're on the boughs of trees. They grow on trunks of trees. They're everywhere. And people do different things with the different mushrooms. So I have grilled the very large mushrooms. They grill and have with a very light seasoning, almost like a little salsa. And the smaller mushrooms they make into different kinds of curries. So, for example, there's a wonderful curry with coconut milk. And it is so easy to make. It doesn't require many ingredients. And you can have it in the Indian way with rice or whatever, mm-hmm. but you can also have it on toast. You know, there are other ways that are not fully Indian. So you don't have to go the full Indian route and make a full Indian meal. You can keep your meal very simple, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And I try and encourage people not to feel that they have to make a complete Indian meal all the time. Just use some things from the book to add to whatever you're eating.
Which makes a great deal of sense. What kind of spices are in that coconut mushroom curry?
Well, they're very simple spices like turmeric. Now, turmeric is that, you know what turmeric is. It's that yellow spice that comes
exactly.
from a rhizome, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And the thing with turmeric, and all spices in India are used medicinally as well as for taste. So turmeric is an antiseptic. And it's a very good spice to know about because it's an antiseptic inside the body and outside the body. You can even rub it on a cut and it will heal the cut.
Huh.
And so we put turmeric. You can rub a little chili powder. You can rub a little cumin or coriander on the mushrooms and then set them aside. And then just cook it very simply in the coconut sauce. It's really a simple dish.
Sounds so easy, but it also sounds so good.
It is.
You talk about two brothers who are both jewelers. Their shops are very near each other. And you managed to lunch with them, which I think was a very lucky hit.
Yeah, they're actually three brothers, and they work together. You know, in India, families, what we call joint families, stay joint at the hip. And the families either live together or work together and have their lives together. So if they're three brothers, then their wives and children will be together a lot of the time, sometimes in the same building. And what these brothers do is they run this jewelry shop in the Taj Hotel, and they run them together, but they meet for lunch. And what they do in the shop is they have a big display case, and they will just clear it off. They put a tablecloth on it, and then food is sent from home, which the wives cook. And it is taken out of tiffin carriers, put on display on the case, and you get knives, forks, plates, and they sit down and eat on either side of the display case and talk about their day. So they would have, they're vegetarians, they would have some kind of bean dish, they would have lovely Indian whole wheat flatbreads like tortillas, but we call them chapatis, and they would have, the bean could be a chickpea dish. Then they would have a nice vegetable dish, which could be spinach or some other green. And they will have, you know, sometimes they use newfangled things like soya grains to make a dish. And they will put it all together and have it with water. The drink is always water. And it could be buttermilk, but that's it. You don't go beyond water or buttermilk. No wine, nothing like that. And then they sit together and eat. And this is one of the stores. You know, the Taj Mahal in India was the one that was attacked by terrorists.
Oh, yes, yes.
So their shop is full of bullet holes as well that they have not fixed. And they leave it there for people to see. And there was one statue of the Indian god, Ganesh, that was in there. And it was, the bullets came on all sides of it but didn't hit it. So it was there to be sold. And now they say, of course, we'll never sell it. It just sits in that corner where bullets flew all around. Yes. So I wanted to capture these things.
I was thinking about the fact that I've always thought of India and vegetarian cooking, which is the food of the Hindu culture, being so old and being probably the most sophisticated or evolved vegetarian food on the planet. But how did it begin? I have no clue as to where it came from. How did it evolve?
Well, it's a very interesting history, and I'll try and tell it to you in 1 minute. So going from 400 BC right into, let's say, 500 BC, Indians were eating everything. They were eating cow, they were eating horse, they were eating pork, they were eating peacock. There was nothing that was taboo. We had a lot of spices that grew naturally in India. We had rice very early on, like 4000 BC. We got wheat as well, which came from the Middle East. So we had rice, we had wheat, we had sugarcane, we had honey, and every kind of vegetable and meat was there. So the cuisine started evolving then. And as I said, it was not a vegetarian cuisine, no thought of a vegetarian cuisine. And the religion was not Hinduism at that time. Mm-hmm. It was a Vedic religion. And everything was written down. So we know a lot about what was being eaten and drunk and said and not said at that time. Then around 500 BC, we have Buddhism come in, and Jainism. Both, there was no meat eating in either one. There was no killing of animals in either one. And it was found that many, many people, in fact, all of India, was attracted to Buddhism. And I think a group of priests of the Vedic faith decided that they were losing out to these people with their new religion, newfangled vegetarian eating and vegetarian living, mm-hmm. and very Spartan life. They were losing out to them. So very soon, the religion, Hinduism, began to grow amongst these people. And with it, they started fighting for the attention of the people by bringing their own form of vegetarianism, which was much stricter than anything anybody had had. and it did not allow for the killing of the cow. Amongst the Jains, which was another religion that came up around the same time, another vegetarian religion, they wore masks on their faces so they wouldn't inhale an insect and therefore kill it. So it became much stricter. And this is the form of vegetarianism that then stayed on in India and came to the present day. But because it was so influenced by the Vedic religion and all the Ayurvedas, which talk about the food value of different foods and how you combine spices with each other for this thing or that thing, for this disease or that disease, whether foods are heating or whether foods are cooling, this was all there in the Vedic times. But this was now all adopted by all of India. So this cuisine kept developing and getting refined over time. And that, over time, produced the great vegetarian cuisine that we have in India today.
I knew it was going to be a great story.
But told very fast.
Told very fast. Yeah, you've just covered, I don't know how many thousand years very quickly.
Exactly.
From one of the most complex countries that exists. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Madhur Jaffrey's latest book is Vegetarian India. Now, be sure to check out some of her recent vegetarian finds. She left us with recipes for green lentil curry with kale and broiled portobello mushrooms in the Kadaga style. You know where to get them, splendidtable.org.